Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. This morning, our featured organization is the Underground Railroad History Project of the Capital Region, a nonprofit organization that seeks to encourage knowledge of the Underground Railroad movement at its genesis and legacy in the Capital Region and in New York State, and as a significant element of the history of the United States. We're joined now by Paul and Mary Liz Stewart, co-founders of Underground Railroad History Project and scholars in residence at Russell Sage College. Paul and Mary Liz, welcome.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You know, I went to your website, and it's fascinating, the history. Before we talk about what the Underground Railroad History Project is, is the Underground Railroad taught enough these days? Do people know enough about this?
My response would be yes and no. It's still taught rather extensively in our classrooms through the new movie Harriet Tubman, 12 Years a Slave some years back. So there seems to be an increasing interest in this history, but I would say that where we have failed is in the narrowness of the content that is brought forward with this history. We still focus in very much on prominent figures and fail to address the contemporary relevance of this history. We don't look at, understand, or teach about this history as the first civil rights movement in the country with a legacy that is part of our current circumstances today. So that would be my take.
Yeah, I think it's a very narrowly presented, almost in a pop fashion when it is presented. And I do think that there's a lot that's not referenced, particularly in that pre-Civil War period. There are a lot of things that went on, a lot of people that were involved that generally don't get mentioned. You know, they generally focus in maybe on a couple of people, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, but there were so many people across the country that were involved in this movement. And there's so much that comes out of this period that's influential in terms of our current day, and that generally doesn't
get
approached.
Give me an example.
Well, like for instance, the folks who were most closely involved with the Underground Railroad, besides helping people who were escaping from enslavement and making their way to freedom, they also spent a lot of time thinking about food, clothing, shelter, education, voting rights, economic development, and a number of other things. A lot of those issues are the same issues we're still struggling with today in many ways, shapes, and forms.
And perhaps a very specific example to offer that we oftentimes offer when Paul and I are speaking publicly is the occasion when Elizabeth Warren was reading a letter drafted by Coretta Scott King at the nomination for Jeff Sessions. And she was interrupted in that reading and essentially halted from that reading by a congressman calling upon what we more commonly know as the gag rule, which was a law put into place to stifle the conversation in Congress around the issue of the institution of slavery. So here we are today.
Yeah. And it's still with
harking
us.
Back. You know? The other thing I might like to add also is that very often the perspective of the Underground Railroad seems to come from a perspective of unspoken assumptions that include such things as abolitionists. We don't identify them as white, but yet that's what the traditional canon assumes in the way that it's retold. We oftentimes look at or address the institution of slavery as something that occurred, but really it is an institution with legal, political, social, and economic supports. We look at the position of blacks in this story oftentimes as victims and fail to recognize and acknowledge that they were very courageous people, very tenacious people, existing within the confines of a very oppressive institution. And for those who were able to function outside that institution, there were still systems of prejudice and discriminatory practices that affected their abilities to realize their, achievements in their own lives.
A lack of embrace of the local story. People are very quick to tell these grand stories, but somebody like Stephen Myers, people like Thomas Elkins, William Henry Johnson here in Albany, are among the folks that we could be centering telling the story around that often don't. We actually do center the story telling.
And that's part of what you do. And why don't you tell us what the Underground Railroad History Project is, what it does, and how it works.
Okay. Well, we are a results-driven education and preservation organization that researches Underground Railroad history and its relevance for us today. While focusing on a purpose, which is to use this work, this research, to empower people to become agents of change for a more just and equitable society. And that, for us, is what particularly our Black abolitionists were doing. They were involved in more than just trying to abolish the institution of slavery and assist freedom seekers coming into the community, but they also were dealing with issues of equity. And so we see that as carrying on that legacy. We see that as very important for the organization. And there are a number of initiatives the organization engages in that try to move this forward.
So one of them has been the restoration of the Stephen and Harriet Myers residence, a historic site that's on the National Register of Historic Places, part of the National Network to Freedom of the National Park Service, and a member of the International Coalition of Sites of Conscience. On that, the Myers Residence campus, we also have a garden, which is called the Abram Johnson Garden, where we grow both decorative plants and food plants, and it's basically open to the community.
And the plant choices are reflective of what would have been growing when Stephen and Harriet Myers lived in the Myers residence.
What restoration work needs to be done?
Well, we've spent in the neighborhood of $1 million on the external restoration of the building and the structural restoration of the building, and now we're working on the inside of the building, and so there are many things that need to be done in terms of refinishing the walls, resurfacing, replastering, rebuilding staircases, making corrective measures in the basement, where we want to recreate what a kitchen would have been like for Harriet Myers.
And if I could say, we had some visitors yesterday who asked us, well, what do you want to do with this building when it's restored? And so we shared a couple of ideas with them, because when people come to the Myers residence, they come for an experience. And our desire is to create an experience for people such that they sit on the historic furniture, they handle the period in historic newspapers, they get to fidget with the artifacts.
That's fraught with danger, by the way, letting people fidget with the artifacts.
And yet, people are very respectful and very thoughtful about how they do that. But for us, it becomes a place where we engage with history. We don't just look at it, hear about it, think about it, but we engage with it and grapple with it and what it means.
Yeah, and this historic site is open now. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people will say, well, you know, it's in process, we're still doing restoration, but it's open now, and we do invite people to come in and tour it.
We only have about 30 seconds. I think I could go about 3 hours with you two. What do you need in 20 seconds, and how do people get in contact with you?
What we need financial resources, so we're always looking for those who might be interested in supporting financially the
donors and
the
members.
Organization.
Yep, donors and members.
And in order to reach us, we are certainly at the end of undergroundrailroadhistory.org or phone calls at 518-432-4432.
Or you can email us at info@undergroundrailroadhistory.org.
And we have those links on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Paul and Mary Liz Stewart of the Underground Railroad History Project, too brief a time. Let's have you back soon to learn more about the Underground Railroad History Project of the Capital Region. Once again, you can visit undergroundrailroadhistory.org or go to wamc.org/roundtable. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, and see more progress. You are listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.